This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, we're back again. It's another one of those really, really, really great days. It's time for the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Yeah, baby. Yeah, welcome to it. It's another one of those really great days. Thank you so, so much for joining us. It's time to have some of those really constructive conversations in the shortest hour of the week. It's time for the Unplugged and In Charge radio show every single Thursday between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Of course, it's also available on podcast. And thank you very much for listening in the podcast type as well. Today, we're going to be chatting about some really cool stuff. I know millennials are all on phones these days. I mean, if you have a little toddler at home that has to draw you in, they'll probably draw you with a phone in your hand. You know what I mean? It's become like that. I'm not alone in studio. I've got the Vaughn, the everything.
Yeah,
the
what's
main
poppin', man.
How you doing, brother?
You know what it is, bro. I got my phone in my hand.
You got your phone and your laptop.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
All at once, bro.
Your child's going to draw you with a phone in hand.
Hey, man.
One day.
Well, you know, a better phone than something else.
Hey.
you know what I'm saying?
I was actually having a chat to a lady yesterday at a function I was at.
Yep.
You know, it's better that you actually get drawn in the picture, because sometimes your child draws everybody. And
except you.
Except you. And you say, where's daddy? Then they're like, daddy's at work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's worse.
No, that's way worse. I'd rather be daddy with a phone in my hand.
Yeah. No, deaf. All right, cool. It's had a really great day. Of course, in my life, I think a lot of things are happening all at once. Let's just have a chat about you.
Is it our first show in spring?
It's our first show in spring.
Yeah, it is,
right?
Man. It is.
It's together.
At least.
Yeah.
I was so sick and tired of the cold. It was destroying me, bro.
Yeah.
It was destroying my motivation in the morning. But now I feel good to wake up in the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's been a good couple
Where's my water? I need to do a whole spring day.
I got my phone in my hand, bro.
Yeah. But these days, the phones are waterproof because they knew.
Oh, shit. That's true.
Spring day's coming.
And they planned this. They knew it. They knew that their phones we have to make. You know, I was thinking about that because I watched the iPhone X launch.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we're making such technology is making such specific efforts to ensure that your phone can be with you wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it's maybe it's not the right word, but like they've made like conscious efforts to ensure that you can have your phone even when you're in the bath, when you're in the shower, like, you know what I'm saying? Which shows the desperate need we have to keep our phones with us at all times. But anyway, that's for another conversation.
Yeah, we're actually going to chat about that conversation. But, so hold on.
Yeah, you feel me. But it's just something I was thinking of over the weekend. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, bro. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Now I'm just glad it's spring. I'm glad it's like the season of yellow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, look,
baby.
Let's not allow you to just throw shade like that and not actually explain and elaborate. Vaughn, you're doing some really great things, man.
Yeah, it's been,
I think you guys are topping the charts on iTunes right now.
Yeah, we haven't
better than Jay-Z.
Shout out, bro.
You guys are doing better than Kendrick. You guys are doing better than Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. It's actually crazy, dog. Like, we dropped the album. For those of you that don't know, when you catch this podcast, you got to go and listen to it. We dropped an album called Yellow, Shane Eagle's debut album. And we haven't left the charts, man. We debuted at number one across all genres and across hip-hop. We haven't left the top five across all genres. And we're the number one album on iTunes and Deezer. Mm. I'm still to get to Google Play's stats, but Deezer, which is accessible via Android, and then obviously iTunes, we're dominating. So it's been crazy. It's been 2 weeks to the day. So exactly today has been 2 weeks since we dropped, and we haven't left. We're solidly there, man. We're solidly there, which is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Independently,
man.
Too. You know.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing about it. I mean, you guys have been in many situations where it's either you sell out, or you say, no, I think I could do this myself.
Yeah, man. Many. There's a lot. We've been very, very, very often over the last year and a half, we've been in situations where we've been offered certain deals and stuff, and we just, I don't know, man, I don't know what it is, but we just sort of share the same sentiment that, like, if they think they can do it, so can we, you know. What is the difference, you know? What is the difference? Because you've got a big building and an office doesn't mean that we can't do what you do. So We, yeah, man, I mean, obviously no disrespect to anybody that's ever offered us anything. In fact, it's a compliment, you know. We actually find it quite flattering that people, you know, would want to invest in us in that, on that level. But we also know what the complications are with making deals like that, and we've educated ourselves. I think that's the major thing. Like, you take some time just to educate yourself and just to understand the landscape. And once you understand the landscape, you understand, you know, the language. And once you understand the language, you know what to say, and you know how people, what they're saying to you, you know. So we, yeah, we just took time to do that. And hey, man, like, we out here now. Number one, baby, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to say much else. Just go check what's happening on iTunes.
Yeah, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, they don't lie, bro. But it's crazy. Like, honestly, it's just been a humbling experience. I know that Shane is completely humbled by it. It's amazing. He's obviously over the moon. And yeah, it's just cool to know that people are receiving the music the way we wanted them to, you know. And just know that, like, every move, everything has been calculated. Nothing is by chance, you know. We have put a lot of thought into how we did this, and everything we shoot, and the way we dropped, and the artwork, and everything has just been thought out. We don't leave anything to chance, because it means a lot, you know. And that's why it works, because when something means a lot to you, you go the extra mile.
Yeah, I think what you guys have literally done is the same thing I said at the beginning of the year, to become the person that you are waiting for. You know, you think that you're waiting for a big record deal before you can become what you wanted to become.
Yeah.
You just decided, hey, let's become that record deal.
Yeah.
You think you're waiting for a big strategist, you know, like a team of, like, I was chatting to a friend of mine from Mikasa, and he was saying it's crazy how they went from just being the four of them, actually the three of them, to having 25 people in the boardroom having to decide what happens with their lives. And all of a sudden they don't have that much say anymore as to how things are done. And what you guys did differently from that is you said, hey, we don't need the 25 people. I think we can, if those guys believe that they can do it, then it means that we are good enough to do it ourselves.
But that's exactly the thing. Like, I always tell people this. I'm like, if somebody comes to you and says he has 5 million rand, right? Let's speak in music terms. Major label comes to you and says he has 5 million rand advance. We want to sign you for 5 years. We want your next 3 albums and your next 6 singles. And we want to sign you on X amount of, an X percentage deal. 360, could be a one, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Could even be a management deal. Doesn't matter. But they come to you with that. You must understand that that's a big corporation whose major interest is the bottom line, right? Like all of us, even us independent artists, the major interest we have is the bottom line. What are we getting out of this? Because we need to fuel the rest of our mission. We need the resource. So everybody thinks about the bottom line in business, and music, unfortunately, not unfortunately, it's, I say that because I just get sensitive when we're talking about business in art, because it becomes so tricky. You know, like, it's politics. It's just unfortunate that that's the way it is. But at the end of the day, it's the reality. So a major corporation comes to you and says, we want to give you X amount of money, and we want you for X amount of time. You must understand that they know, or they, in their minds, they don't have such thing. They don't make a lot of decisions based on passion. They make a lot of decisions based on the bottom line, based on facts, based on projections, based on possible numbers. So you must understand that when they're saying that to you, you could make 3 times that money on your own, because they're not going to give you that knowing that they can't double return.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Perhaps you will find you'll struggle in some senses, because the resource immediately is not there. So they will be able to put your video on TV immediately. They will be able to put you on that lineup immediately. They might be able to fly you to Sway, whatever. They might be able to do those things. But the thing is that the things might come quicker, but you don't reap the same rewards as you would if you worked through the process.
You know? The beauty of working through it is that after that, you're empowered. You know how to do things now.
You're Jay-Z.
And forever.
You're Jay-Z. Jay-Z, people forget, though. Jay-Z is an independent artist. Jay-Z never signed to anyone. But think about Jay-Z. Think about him right for a minute. Like, what has he done with his life? He never signed a contract. Jay-Z said to himself, I'm opening Rockefeller Records, I'm opening Rock Nation. He never, you know, he made strategic partnerships. You see, the mentality is different. So it's like, do you want to get rich quick, or do you want to build an empire? You don't build empires by selling yourself out. You know, you don't build, like, it takes time to build an empire, you know. But there's ways to do it where you can be smart. Like, we're not adverse to having conversations with major corporations around how can we mutually benefit each other. Absolutely not, you know. It's just that we're a little smarter and a little bit more together with regards to what it is we want to achieve and what it is that the offer may be. You know, we put two and two together. So it's like you navigate your life like that. And in fact, you know, I know that sometimes, you know, it might become a frustrating situation for a lot of labels to deal with someone that thinks in this way, because it's not always easy to get your way. But I think a smart label, I think somebody with vision would be like, you know what, this is a mover and a shaker. These two are moving and they're doing their thing, or this company that they've established is doing something. How can we be a part of it in a way that genuinely benefits the artist and then genuinely benefits themselves? That's a conversation that I think everyone should be open with. I don't think that partnering and forming certain partnerships on certain levels is a bad thing. In fact, that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do sometimes need distribution, and you do need certain marketing, and you do need an agency to do X, Y, and Z. But that's okay. Just make sure that the levels that you agree on are on the same level.
Yeah,
you can't be. You don't want to be one or the other, because then there starts, then this thing of like dictation starts to, people start to dictate what happens, what, how it should. When in actual fact, like, let's just decide together. Let's have a common goal, you know? So we wait until those opportunities come. But until then, it's like, yeah, man, we can do this thing on our own. You know, it's a little tough, you know, we count all the cents to make things work, but hey, man, it's worth it, bro. It's worth every cent. You know what I'm saying?
I think what's also worth it is that eventually we should have a podcast in a couple of weeks, maybe months to come, on negotiation, negotiation skills.
Definitely. I think negotiation skills go such a long way, bro. In fact, like, I've come across people that have, let's just in inverted commas say, no education. Because I say that because it's no formal education. They don't have a diploma or degree or anything. But in boardrooms, they dominate the conversations. Mm. They dominate the negotiation. They actually end up winning the deals, or because of simple negotiation skills and like people skills. You know what I'm saying? Which is like something that you probably acquire over putting yourself out there. That's why, like what you were saying, when you were saying that you become empowered through trying to do things on your own, or like just putting yourself in spaces which are not always the spaces that people want to put themselves in, because they're awkward, because they're scary. But once you go into those spaces, like, yo, when you come out the other side, you realize, like, oh man, I don't get, like, I'm not made of glass. I can get hit and stand back up. I can learn that. I can figure that out. I make a mistake here, I learn here. You know, as you go along, when you realize that getting somewhere is just growth, bro, the things lose their the fear disappears.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. So we're going to put that, pencil that. We're going to have that podcast pretty soon, negotiation skills, because I think that it's important even when you applying for that new job.
For sure.
And then that question comes up. So how much do you want us to pay you? And you know, guys start biting their tongues.
Yeah.
It comes up when you are an artist coming up, whether you are voiceover or music or MC. They're like, how much do you charge? You know,
now you're not sure.
When you have a small business and people are saying, how much is this going to cost us? And now if you're one of those people that find it hard to charge people because it makes you look bad, or it makes you think that you're a bad person for charging too much, then this is going to be something fantastic, and that's going to be for you. So
definitely.
I definitely want some of those non-educated people who are really great and dominating the boardrooms. We need those type of people in, and we need to find out what is it about them.
Even if we do a telephonic, because I know some guy, he might be in town, but he travels a lot.
He'll negotiate his way to a telephonic.
He might even negotiate his way into a Skype call. But he's one of those guys that I think I've learned a lot from in my life. I'll definitely get him involved.
Something fantastic. Okay, cool. So just checking out some of the latest news and things that are out there. Really cool stuff is happening.
Besides yellow.
Shut up. Something cool, and I think ladies are gonna love this a lot. For the first time in 80 years, there's a new type of chocolate. New type of chocolate. What you talking about?
Does it not make you fat?
Hey, look, listen to this. So this is the Swiss chocolate makers have added a new color to the chocolate cashier. And this is a ruby chocolate. Ruby chocolate.
Okay.
Something like that. This right here is like a pink type of chocolate, in fact. And the ruby chocolate is the newest natural pink food item that's out there. The ruby cocoa bean gives the chocolate its distinct pink pigment without the use of additives. And you can read up all about it. But it's something really cool, and it's out and about. So you guys can Google that. That's something new and out there. You were speaking about the new iPhone, the new iPhone X.
Yep,
so
it's out.
That got launched on the 12th of September. And yeah, guys, there's a new iPhone. Here's an article that compares the iPhone, like the original, the first one, 2007, that was launched on the 9th of January. Compare that one now to 10 years later, because this is, of course, the 10-year anniversary, right?
Yep.
So that's why probably the iPhone X, it's actually the iPhone 10.
Yeah, so they've sped it. I was actually saying to my brother, I think, I wonder why they did it. Okay, obviously, I understand it's a 10-year anniversary, but I also think maybe they just, technology is just too quick. How can they, what more can they do and split it over the next 3 years? I think they're just, you know, like, hey, let's jump to 10 and do everything.
So the interesting thing is, let's just compare the two. First of all, capacity. So the first iPhone that came out had about 16 gigabyte. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And this one right here, 256 gigabyte.
Yes.
Imagine the 10-year jump.
You don't need to delete music now when you download.
Never.
Again.
You just download once and it's there for life.
Plus, you can get iCloud 200 gigs extra.
Imagine.
Apple.
So let's just think about the size. So before we had in length, let's say from top to bottom, the screen was about 11.5 centimeters. It has gone from that to about 14.5 centimeters. The width has increased from around 6 centimeters to 7 centimeters. Not really much there, but the phones have gotten a lot thinner, from 1.2 centimeters to 0.77 centimeters, literally under a centimeter.
Yes.
This phone is, what, guys? Wait, how thin is that?
It's thinner. It's thinner. It's thinner than a centimeter. That's how you can't feel it in your pockets.
That's gonna be cool, because I mean, I know that ladies like to wear these tight jeans.
Yeah, so you
can just slip it in there, and you're not even feeling that there's
an
actual phone.
And it's glass, and it's made of glass or something.
So the weight, there's not really much. 135 grams before, now 174 grams. Obviously, because it's bigger in the size and so on. The price, guys.
Oh.
I know. Listen to this. So we come from about $500 back in those days, right? $500 for the 16 gigabyte. Now, the 256 gigabyte is $1,149. And then you need to multiply that by just about 14 to get to the South African rand.
Jeez.
So, guys, it's a lot of money. Guys, like, we come from phones that used to be around 2,000 rand and you thought, yo, that's a lot of money. Now, we are at like 20,000 rand. It's literally, it's quite crazy.
Yeah.
It has more than doubled in the last 10 years. Like a new phone, by the way. A new phone then versus a new phone now from iPhone, which was the latest, has more than doubled. I mean, if you have if you had invested in iPhone shares back in the day, I think you would be making it seriously.
Yeah, you're proper
by now.
Like a couple of years ago, you would really be doing well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last few things to compare. The camera, the rear camera before, 2 megapixel. And they thought 2 megapixel is the best ever, guys. Wow, 2 megapixel.
Yeah.
10 years later, the phone has got 12 megapixel on the rear, 7 megapixel on the front, and wide angle portrait mode. All these amazing things. Battery life back then, the most you could get from talk time is 8 hours. Now it's 21 hours talk time. Audio playback. If you're just playing music the whole way through, nonstop. Before, you could do 24 hours, which is impressive. Imagine playing music for the whole day
Without
doing anything else. Now, it is 60 hours. You can do 3 days of music and still have an additional 8 hours after that.
Of battery?
Yeah.
No, that's fire.
That's fire, guys.
Yeah, that's proper. And you can also, I think you're going to get there. More about the battery, where you can charge it wirelessly.
Yeah, right.
Like, charge it via Wi-Fi. Wow. Come on.
I'm telling you. So, I mean, if that's how 10 years of innovation looks like, how is the next 10 years going to look like? I mean, can you start to imagine where we're going to be 10 years from now?
I've been trying to think of it since the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 7, right? So yeah, when the 7 came out, I was already thinking, like, where do you go next? Now I hear about this, you know? So it's like, I'm actually curious to find out is like how they Okay, I get all the extra functionality. Like now they've got like this face recognition and all these different things that like unlock your phone and whatnot. But I'm actually trying to figure out how they're going to improve or revolutionize or whatever else the actual communication part. Like we have FaceTime and we have normal calls and stuff, right? Video calls. But how are we going to that? Where's that? When's that going to the next level? Mm. Is it going to be like a possibility for me to like, yeah, like to touch and feel, or this, is it going to be an opportunity? Yeah,
hey,
yeah, but I mean,
what are we touching and feeling?
Well, you see, it depends who you're talking to. But like, what about like the opportunity to have a phone that when I'm speaking to you, where's that? Like, I kind of hold it, and then maybe it projects your body in front of me like a hologram, and then we have a conversation like we in person.
Augmented reality. I think it's a very real thing.
Something like that, you know.
So close to happening because of the VR lens.
Yeah.
And we're gonna just go from VR lens to augmented reality.
Imagine we just put on this thing, and I'm like having a conversation with you face to face.
Yeah, and you can see body language, and you can.
You see, context now is like for real. Like now, when you're making a joke, it's not just your tone. Like I can actually see your face. Like if you're being serious, if you're upset.
Let me tell you something that I recently learned. Yeah. If you can imagine it, it's not 10 years from now. It's actually going to happen 2 years from now.
That's actually
if you can
true.
Imagine it, it's actually so close. You remember there was a time where I thought I was being so innovative and I was saying, you know, in years from now, we're going to have these drones that are going to have selfie cameras and we're not going to take selfies with sticks and we're going to be able to talk. Done. You remember I said that?
Yeah.
And I mean, it didn't even take 2 years, guys. It's done. I saw a video.
The other day, like I was going on about like these ideas I had for like improving certain business processes and flows and certain apps that I've been sitting there. I'm thinking, this is on lock. I'm sure not even 2 years. It's 8 months. 8 months. There's I was on the internet.
App.
I was like,
there's a time you had an
my
app.
Idea.
You had an app that's gonna, you know, change the way
freelancers.
Man, that's out there.
Like when I saw and the thing is, even the ones I knew that were out there, I changed them and then I was like, okay, no, it's different. Then, like, as I was going along the pitching process, more, like, as 3 to 6 months passed, at the 6 month, I realized, they've done it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, so, people are thinking and doing things quickly, bro.
Yes. You like, know what quickly. Is important? I think in South Africa, we still think that we need some stuff before we get started. Because in America, there's none of that. These guys just jump at things. They just do things. They're executors. Mm. And it's amazing. I was watching a Shark Tank. And the guys that come on Shark Tank in South Africa versus the guys that go on Shark Tank in America. First of all, you understand that they invest a whole lot of money there. Like there, when they say we want $3 million, and in South Africa, when I watch them, they say they want 300,000 rand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, first of all, the exchange rate is already so crazy.
Yeah.
But you guys want very little money for your businesses. And the South African ones normally have like 5-10 years doing this thing, and they want to now go to the next level. The American ones come say, no, we actually have only been doing this for 3 months. And I'm like, and you're on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is the judges or the investors, the sharks, are not thinking, what? 3 months and you're here. Mm. They're thinking, great. Well done for being here after 3 months.
Mm.
And they look down upon guys who say, no, I've had this thing for 3 years now. And they're like, what? And you have not done anything about it?
Yeah, you haven't got the thing yet, yeah.
The culture of business and innovation in America is so different from ours.
Yeah.
We think you need this and you need that.
No.
You need to hlaba inkomo for abadala and the ancestors or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we just have these many loopholes that we think a person needs to go through before we start taking you seriously.
Yeah, our like culture of entrepreneurship and risk taking is unbelievably behind. There's a few individuals, obviously, like, don't get it wrong. South Africans have a lot of creative people that are doing good things, you know, and taking the right risks. But you're right. Just our approach to doing things different and to doing new things. It's almost like we feel like we have to qualify ourselves before it, but it's not really the truth.
Mm.
I mean, Steve Jobs, even when he made Apple, he doesn't even code, doesn't even design. Like, he's a ideas guy. He had this idea, said, okay, I'm going to do this, got the right people together, and then he ended up creating Apple. But just because he said, okay, I'm going to rather do than make the excuses why I can't and shouldn't. You know what I mean? In South Africa, I kind of feel like we first feel like we need to go through some qualifying stage in life to be super entrepreneurs or be to be super innovative, you know? Which is I don't know if it's us playing safe or if it's just our young democratic society, you know, our young nation. Because maybe that comes with time. Maybe it's not just like you wake up in the morning and you've changed your entire way of operating as an entrepreneur or as an individual. Maybe that America have been doing this for 200 years and we've only been doing it for 20.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's just tricky because we're exposed to the results of 200 years of doing this, and we weigh ourselves up against that when in reality, like, we're in a different world. You know what I mean? We really are.
I just had a look at Instagram. I mean, the internet now, to just see how old Bill Gates was when he pitched to IBM and eventually got the deal that would make him so famous and so rich as well.
Wealthy, yeah.
He was around 20 years old, 1920,
Check that out.
He came there with the idea that really made him a billionaire
straight
at
up
the age of 20. And he's like, I've got this idea, guys. I've got this thing. And they looked at it and they said, let's take this kid seriously.
Mm.
How many people in South Africa take a 19, 20-year-old seriously? And you're coming there with this huge thing that no one is doing. Mm. Not even professors are doing this. Mm. And you're saying, guys, I have a feeling. And by the way, he said, they asked him, do you have an operating system? He said, yes. He lied that day. And then he went and got one.
And made one.
But... that's a classic 19-year-old.
Trust. It is like, I just need to get that thing.
You know, but the crazy thing is that he was willing to bet on himself at 1920, and somebody was willing to invest in him at 1920.
So that's also the other part of the culture that I think South Africa still needs to develop. Mm. We've got like a really interesting dynamic between young and old people in South Africa where we, I don't know, man, it's like the. I just kind of start feeling like old people or the older generation don't actually want to put on the younger generation quickly because they feel that they didn't get put on quickly. So there's this whole weird vibe that goes on. And a lot of good ideas get lost in that dynamic, which is a little sad, you know. Because of the... And once again, man, it comes to time. Because one day, Wizzo, when you're an older guy and you're established and succeeded in everything you wanted to do, you know, a young Wizzo is going to come around quicker than it took for you to come around because of the way the world's set up and the influences that they have. And a young Wes is going to come to you one day and say, hey man, I've got this idea. I know I'm only 18, but what do you think of this? You are going to be more receptive to accepting his idea and letting and investing in him than someone who's 50 now and you're 22, 25, whatever the age you are, you know, because of the way we grew up, you know. So once again, the States, 200 years ahead, we are 20. There's like this thing, you know.
Hey, that
this,
makes such a lot of sense.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this thing where it's like these older guys don't necessarily want to give it to us that easily because they had to work hard. But it's a different world now, man. You got to help us. You know what I'm saying? Help us and we'll help you in a way, you know?
True.
But I mean, we'll get there. I believe we'll get there. There's enough good and young and smart and dedicated people in South Africa. Doing enough things to improve the way we work in that sense, but it's not going to be an easy fight, I'll tell you that much.
Sure, no, definitely. Mm. Cool, so right after this, we're chatting to Tiffany. She's a digital entrepreneur, and we're going to get to know what your Instagram account says about you.
Oh, okay.
We have this habit of getting comfortable in our routines and patterns, and then it gets difficult to get out of that.
There's got to be those days you push through. They're probably going to be more numerous than the days you don't.
And I think that's something to be mindful of as well. Try to imagine your life when you'd make that easy choice next time. What is that going to do? Is that going to keep you away from your dreams? Are you going to regret that later? You know, a lot of opportunities appear only once in life, and you skip that taking the easy choice, they're probably gone forever.
You can dream of the kind of life you want. You can dream of the kind of change you want. You can dream of the kind of future you want. But until you wake up and begin to plan to get there, it will only be a dream.
If you don't get up and actually do something, do anything, those positive emotions will never have the opportunity to follow those actions. You'll just be stuck in a lazy, demotivated hole for as long as you choose to be.
And so the benefit of discipline in my eyes has always been that through discipline, I get things done.
You told us that you was about to start working out. You told us that you was going to start a business. But when are you going to do that?
Your number one job is to become more of yourself.
And sometimes a big part of success is just not being lazy and just doing it.
Yeah.
That's like 90% of it is just showing up. Get there and start working. Like, you're not going to feel perfect every day.
Effort. Effort. Man, I see so many people talking about hustle, hard work, determination, grind, work ethic. At the end of the day, when I look at the body of people, the men and women I've worked with around the world, at the end of the day, it's effort.
Do I not have enough time? Or am I being lazy? And lazy comes in two different flavors. Lazy comes in two distinct flavors. Lazy comes in one flavor, which means not working. You might be saying, hey, I'm constantly working, I'm constantly learning. That's an easy rebuttal. But the second flavor of lazy is not doing what needs to be done. It means holding out on doing what you know is necessary, but hard to do.
One thing that discipline definitely does help you with is it helps you get things done. And when you get things done, when you actually do things, you have more success.
Disciplining yourself to concentrate on a job until it is finished gives you a feeling of confidence and competence and mastery.
What makes you comfortable can ruin you. Or what makes you uncomfortable is the only way to grow.
Yeah, some good food for thought right there. Wow. Awesome, awesome stuff indeed. Focus is that important, guys. When you can get to focus on things and get some things done, you really just start to see your life move forward a whole lot quicker. In fact, sometimes you just need to put your head down and just keep on grafting. Don't come up unless the scoreboard changes. Just keep on going until the scoreboard changes. And don't even come up to make some announcements about the scoreboard. Just keep on grafting the whole way through. I think that's sometimes one of the things that we need to do, and stop looking around too much for validation. Just keep on doing the thing that you are trying to do. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're joined by Tiffany. Tiffany, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
We fantastic.
What's popping?
Nothing much, just chilling.
So tell us, Tiffany, you're a digital entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
What is a digital entrepreneur?
So, I mean, I don't even know how to sum this up, but I think it's almost like an influencer, but more concentrated in the fact that I make money off of social media, you know, on all different platforms, your Twitter, your Instagram, my website that I have.
Yeah.
I think that just sums up what it is. I don't know how else I can get into
it. So does one go to school for something like this?
Well, I didn't. I kind of just woke up and I was like, I want to start a website. I want to make something happen and make something out of myself. So the way in which, I think you guys were having this conversation with technology and media, the way in which for me to do that was to do that on like a platform like that. Social media was the easiest and cheapest way to make that happen for myself.
Wow. And I mean, so you wake up one morning and you say, Mama, I want to be a digital entrepreneur. And your mom's like, hey, I'm done, go for it.
No, man. I mean, I'm a blogger more than anything, to begin with.
Yes.
So I think the digital entrepreneur title for me, I feel like I've adopted it as time has gone past because I want to do more than just creating content. I want to provide services to brands and collaborate with brands on a much more in-depth level. So I think that's just the like the way in which I can do that.
I think it's brilliant because it's, I mean, the 21st century is an era where there are so many new occupations, ones that did not exist a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
And then we got new things. They need new titles. And you had to come up with the, like, what is this going to be called? Because I'm making money, guys.
Yeah.
Mama, I am a digital entrepreneur. And she's like, okay. Yes. Because this, it's a time of uncertainty. There's so much going on. And there's so much money to be made in so many things that don't have names yet.
Mm.
And it's brilliant for me to have a person like you to here today to say, hey, guys, I want to show you guys a part of the room that you didn't know exists.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, like it, as I keep saying, it has been such a nice opportunity and like a platform that I feel a lot of people don't really understand, even with the title of influencer, even with the title of blogger, in boardrooms, in the meetings I've had with brands, they're still very hesitant on like, oh, you're a blogger, so, you know, we'll give you free product in exchange for, you know, all these blog posts or all this stuff that we want you to promote. And I'm like, no, guys, I'm actually providing a service for you. So it's almost like when I put on my resume, like to brands, when I'm doing proposal, like I am a digital entrepreneur, they almost take a step back and they're like, oh, so we can almost take you more seriously. It's sad because it's sad that people can't take the term blogger influencer seriously when we are kind of doing a lot for.
It's as if they think that anyone can just wake up and become a blogger because anything you write is a thing.
I feel like it's, I don't want to say hate. I feel like people don't understand it yet. And when people, I mean, I look constantly, I'm always looking at the people I look up to from overseas. So your Army Songs, your Mariana Hewitts and all of that, they are businesswoman, like full businesswoman, but with that title. And America, naturally, I guess, because Americans are always open to this dream of like understanding and creating something out of yourself.
I think Vaughn put it perfectly when he said they're 200 years
ahead of definitely.
Us. So it is generations.
Yeah.
It is, with us, it is starting to happen.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
companies only now are starting to say, hey, we can get like bloggers and influencers coming in. But before this, there was no, that title wasn't there.
Yeah, so, it's like for instance, like just because you can kick a soccer ball doesn't make you a soccer player.
Exactly.
Just because you tweet doesn't make you
an
digital
influencer.
Yeah,
yeah.
You see what I mean? There's certain skills and tactics to how you actually go about it. Like curating content that people respond to on social media and on Twitter and on Instagram, whatever else, that's a certain skill set, you know. It takes a certain understanding, but like brands and stuff eventually I think will come around to it. I know that blogging in the States has like boomed over the last few years.
It's crazy,
you know, people are making like a lot of money off blogging, you know, and off their websites and stuff. So I think that at some point South Africa will definitely tune into that. But the only tricky part, I won't lie, about navigating the world as a social media sort of entrepreneur or a digital entrepreneur as yourself is just the infrastructure of the way the country's set up.
Yeah.
You know, like our access to internet is such a barrier to you making as much money as you possibly can and your industry thriving, because people don't have access to data as frequently or as as affordably as they do overseas, you know, which makes it difficult, right? It makes it real difficult because
definitely.
I mean, I was having a look at just people in South Africa that are getting paid millions of rands a year for tweeting about a product or whatever the case is, and just looking at their following and say, okay, this person got 2 million followers, right? But out of 2 million people in South Africa, if we just take 2 million people, how many of them have data on a regular basis? How many of them have access to Wi-Fi on a regular basis? How many of them off the data they get choose to go onto Twitter, which is a fast consuming data consuming platform, as opposed to just saving it to get by on WhatsApp and to on Instagram? You know, it becomes like a really intricate like thing. But in other parts of the world, you know that 2 million followers are, you know, like 80% of them have access to free Wi-Fi in the streets. You know what I mean? Which is like a major like barrier. So I think once South Africa restructure the way we can access internet and access data, I think brands then feel more comfortable saying, okay, let's put money into her website, because it makes more sense than putting it on a billboard, because people can access it now easier than they would have to drive past this billboard. I'm just thinking that there's a lot of barriers that brands consider.
True.
Yeah. Because of a few things. The first thing is obviously, like I was saying, that in the States they're 200 years ahead in terms of their acceptance to these things. But then the other one, I think, is just the country's infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, which is unfortunate, but it is the reality. We have to navigate that, you know?
But I mean, I also feel like, I mean, I 100% hear everything that you're saying, but I do feel brands kind of need to open their minds. They're like halfway open, if that makes sense. A lot of them, my thing is, when you approach me, you know what I can give you.
Yeah.
But here you are wanting to make me promote something for you for free, or
do you know what I mean?
Like I'm like that's definitely not right. And I mean, I feel like brands, they somewhat get it and they don't wanna let go of that money, obviously for the reasons you're stating. But I feel like they're kind of stingy. To be very honest, like
it is like that, because I've seen brands spend a lot of money on things that don't work, but they're just traditional. You see, traditional is comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, unknown is uncomfortable. So, who am I going to throw my money? If I'm going to throw it, I'm going to throw it to what I know.
Yeah.
You see, it's that thing.
I mean, that's why I've seen that. I've seen almost like a gap in there. And I want to be in those meetings or with the brands and be like, guys, but, you know, you could kind of navigate your way through this way and, you know, put in money to this blogger influencer and you will get your money's worth back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like they just need to unwind or loosen up their mind.
Absolutely.
Almost.
I'm a big fan of, I think influencer marketing works, but I think that there's a certain strategy that you need 100%. To use. And look, like I'm open to all these different ways because I'm from the new school, you know?
Yeah.
So I talk to a lot of older guys in boardrooms about how we're going to get things done. And I can see slowly, they start to understand a bit. They start to trust a little bit as they start to see it work. But the initial thing is that they're like, but I don't know this thing. Like, how do I know what you get there? How, you know, it's just one of those things.
But do you know what's sad for
it's
me?
It's tricky.
I mean, sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm saying
what's sad for me is seeing... like you're saying how the older traditional brands like will loosen up after they see something working.
Yeah.
What shocks me, what I've seen in the past few months, is when us influencers or us bloggers will, you know, knock on these doors to the local brands. And then it just takes one international brand or whatever to be like, hey, I see you, like come shoot this campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden these brands are like, oh yes, now we see your vision.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Like we've been knocking on your door. Why must it take an international brand to take us seriously for you to
it's that thing.
And then all of a sudden the money's flowing and they want to get in. I don't know. It's just a change of mindset, I guess. And
so it's tricky because you're right. And it's that thing, man. It's that thing I'm talking about. Like, it's just introducing them to this new way. Yeah, this whole new approach, you know, and sometimes they need someone to lead by example. So it's a matter of like, don't get despondent. Just keep knocking. Keep believing in what you're pitching and keep packaging it in a way which represents that you believe in it. And one will say yes, and one's going to work really well. And then it's just a matter of, okay, guys, it's done this. Now I've got this data that makes you feel comfortable. I've got this case study.
Yeah.
Now they start to believe more. Say, okay, well, look, this obviously worked, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that's just the nature of business. You know what I mean? I was watching it. I was actually watching a clip with Kevin Hart just before we came on.
Yeah.
On air. Well, I'm a big fan of Kevin Hart, right? Just because obviously he's a very funny human being, but he's also just a very complex and very intricate businessman. Like he's a very smart dude, you know? And I take a lot from him. So one thing I saw him now talking about on Instagram was that he's been in the business for 19, 20 years, but only the last 5 to 6 have been successful.
That's crazy.
He was talking about the first no's he got and then how many thousand no's he got after that, leading up to his one yes. And he just never stopped packaging himself as he believed he should be packaged. You know, he didn't really change anything. If you watch one of Kevin Hart's first stand-up comedy shows, he's got the same, obviously he's evolved, but he's got the similar content and format that he followed. And he just kept on doing that. He just kept on being that guy. Kept on for 15, 20 years of getting told no. And then got one yes, took massive advantage of it. And then now the last 5 to 6 years, he's become the richest comedian in history. So you need to also, I guess you can apply that to everything you believe in.
Yeah.
It's like if you believe in what you're doing, package it in a way that represents the way you believe in it.
Yeah.
Don't deviate from that, regardless of what they say.
Yeah.
And then one will say yes. And when that one says yes, jump on top, capitalize, make it work, sacrifice what you have to sacrifice to make it work. And then like then you probably see the next 5 to 6 years is like a different story to what it was the first 10, 15 years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like when I was listening to him speak, I was like, it's such a crazy thing because you're putting this hard work just to get the yes. And then once you get the yes, you still need to sacrifice. You still need to sacrifice to make it work as you wanted to, so that the next 5 to 6 years, it's like, that's the reason I took a bit of a cut on that yes. Mm. That's the reason I didn't profit as much as I wanted to off that yes, because the 5 years after that, it's like, now I'm doing less and profiting more, you see, because I was willing to like realize that just getting the yes isn't a victory. Mm. It's actually another sacrifice.
Stepping stone, yeah.
Yeah, it's another sacrifice, you see.
Mm.
Like, I've been experiencing that too with myself. Like, I pitched my first client, got my big first client contract, whatever. Now, I realize within it, like, you know, I'm making a lot of sacrifices behind the doors that they don't see, but I do that to make it work like I want it to work, so that when they see it, they're like, yo, he pulled that off for this much, like he pulled that off with this resource, like he because once you do that, you know, it's a different conversation the next 3 years. Now I can sit with you comfortably and say, you know, I put myself through the wire for you.
Yeah.
How can I make this? How can we make this work now? Because, you know, the relationship is established. The proof is in the pudding. So it's like that. Like, I realize that a yes isn't a victory always. It's another sacrifice, you see? Like, it's another thing, dog.
Stepping stone, for sure.
Because you're thinking ahead, like, how many, like, in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm saying 5 years.
The bigger
years.
Picture.
Yeah, like, I need to get this now just so I can show them something, have a young presentation, and then the next one is a different story. So it's like, package it like it, and don't keep knocking on the door. Because
100%.
The times change, you know? They do change.
And I think what's different for us, I mean, I have so many conversations with other fellow bloggers and influencers, and we're like, we don't have anyone to like see like how they did it before us. Do you know what I mean? As much as the American bloggers and influencers are famous now, they kind of like blew up just as we were starting to get into it. So we haven't seen like, how do you fail at this, or how do you deal with the failure, or how do you deal with the hurdle of wanting to quit, or getting told no and having to persist and push, you know?
I think
so. We're making our own rules, and like, we building and growing as we go. We're learning. Like, I'm learning every single day.
That's dope, though.
Yeah, like, it's great. It's nice because it builds you up as a person. Like, I'm learning so much about myself, so much, like, how much can I take? How badly do I want this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's been a great journey.
I think what it also presents is an opportunity for you to become the one that keeps the record.
Yeah.
Like, keep record of everything.
Yeah.
Because the future generation is going to look to you because you're the one that made it and say, hey, how do we do it? And then you say, I've got a course on it.
Yeah,
I'll
like,
charge you this much.
Yeah.
And because that's the next thing. It is opening up an academy for people who want to be digital 100%. Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And you need to think that big to say, I want to own the whole loop.
Yeah.
I don't just want to be part of a loop or create something, but I want to own the entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I think if we start thinking like that, now we're thinking empires.
Yeah.
So let's think. Do bloggers make a lot of money? Do tweets, the guys who are tweeting out there, do you think they make a lot of money? I've got some info about how much Fresh, DJ Fresh, charged or quoted to tweet, just one tweet. Can you guess how much it is?
80,000?
80 to 100? I'm gonna go with like 300,000.
Yeah!
Okay. No, because I'm shooting high because I know these dudes sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
These push it.
I'll announce it in just a little while. First of all, Tiffany, we got a little game to play with you. So, you also on your Twitter profile said that you're a travel content curator, right? So you know a little bit about travel. So we're not even going to go outside the country. You're going to stay inside the country, right? This says, do you think you know South Africa? Let's test your knowledge. These are now some 10 questions every South African must be able to answer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. First question. Do you know what Soweto stands for? I'll give you options. Southwestern Townships, Southwest Town, South African Western Town, Soggy Western Town.
It's the Southwestern Township?
Yes.
And that answer is correct.
Yes.
Okay, cool. One down. Nine to go.
Oh my gosh.
The mountain is one of the most popular places for tourists in South Africa. Can you name it?
Table Mountain.
Lion's Head, Devil's Peak, Table Mountain, Champagne Castle. Table Mountain is what you said?
Yeah.
Table Mountain is correct. Okay.
Yay.
Two down. The game park is the largest in South Africa. What is it? Is it Madikwe Game Reserve? Is it Pilanesberg Game Reserve? Is it Kruger National Park? Is it Galagadi Transfrontier Park?
Kruger?
All right, let's see. Kruger is correct.
Oh, yes. I'm doing better than I thought.
You! Nelson Mandela spent 18 years in prison on this infamous island. All right, this one's obvious.
Yes.
You even want options, or you just say it out loud? Easter Island, Marion Island, Mskaba Island, or Robben Island?
Robben Island.
Yeah, that one. I know. That
it's too one. Easy. It's too easy.
Cool. What animal is Boulder's Beach famous for having? Penguins, elephant, ostrich, leopard?
Penguins. I remember because I went in December and I was so obsessed.
Oh,
it's
cool.
So cute. Yeah.
This person really travels, eh?
Guys.
Have you been there before?
I went, I think I went there once, but then when I was there, it was just full of seaweed.
There's so many penguins and they walk around everywhere.
Shitty ass day.
All right. Johannesburg's population boomed after what was found there? Cocoa beans, uranium, gold, or oil?
Gold.
Obvious. Why would they call it Goli?
You know? Goli.
This is the site of the highest natural communal jump in the world. Commercial jump in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Drakensberg Dip? Is it Nelson Mandela Bridge? Is it Devil's Gorge? Is it Blokrans Bridge?
Mm.
Yeah, no, this one. Yeah, no.
I know quite a lot about the country.
Yeah,
I'm so stuck in between two. But is it not that Drakens? What pig drop? No.
No, you ask. You asking or you telling?
No, I'm telling. Is it okay. The Drakensberg
Dip? Sorry, you are wrong.
It's Blokrans.
Blokrans Bridge. Well done, Vaughn. Hey, Vaughn, you man.
I know this one.
How many languages are recognized in South Africa? Is it 1, 4, 15, or 11?
11.
What about sign language, guys? Yes, it is 11. You are correct. All right, question number 9. How many state capitals are there in South Africa? 1, 2, 3, 4.
State capitals.
State capitals
in
where
South
we murder
Africa.
For capital.
What did you say? What are the options?
How many? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Is it 3? I don't know.
She said 3. She's 2. Correct.
State capitals. I think it's Pretoria and Cape Town.
And Bloemfontein also.
Yeah.
Bloem 4? What is Bloem? Oh, I never knew that. Baba.
Okay. Cool. All right, cool. We have the last question. Durban was visited by the famous explorer in 1497. Who was it? Was it Vasco da Gama? Was it James Cook? Was it David Livingstone? Or was it Ferdinand Magellan or something like that?
Isn't it Ferdinand?
Yeah, that one that I couldn't say. That one.
Yeah.
No, you are wrong, man.
Oh, no.
Vasco da Gama. Why isn't there... There's a soccer team called Vasco da Gama.
I was going for either Vasco or Cook. But then, but I wasn't sure.
Right. Now I was just going to guess Vasco da Gama because of the soccer team.
Because you know
team.
The name.
All right. Well, thank you very much for playing the lovely game. In fact,
what did I get?
Yeah, well, you got like... She got 7. Like 2 wrong.
I think you got 7 out of... No, no, no.
No,
you
I got 8.
You got 8.
Yeah,
you got 8 out of 10. Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, well done.
Mm-hmm.
And Vaughn, you got 9. Because you just had one thing wrong, right?
You feel me?
Absolutely fantastic. Well, thank you very much for playing, guys. And of course, thank you very much for listening in. This has been the shortest hour of the week. Vaughn, any last comments?
Yeah, not much, man. Just obviously thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We'll be doing a couple of other... I think this this podcast actually has given me a couple of ideas of what to do next. Wes, what you think, bro?
Great stuff.
So yeah. I think, yeah, man, I think this as a closing, like a closing comment would be, if you believe in something that you're doing, package it like you believe in it and then keep selling it like you believe in it. Eventually, you know, something comes around. And just because you get that first yes doesn't mean that's a be-all and end-all victory. That's actually just... leads to another sacrifice, which is actually pulling it off and in such a way that it sets you up for the next 5 years. You feel me?
Fantastic. Well, like once again, the shortest hour of the week. Thank you very much, Tiffany, for joining us. We out of here.
This is CliffCentral.com.